Peter. Oh, I forgot.
What mercy he has shown, causing us to be born again. Born into a living hope, because our Christ is raised. Born into a family. Born into a future. Treasure endless and unfading, held in heaven's hands. Hands that guard our hearts. Hearts that trust in God. Convinced that he will save us. Confident he will show himself. We stand now rejoicing. Even in the trial, our fire-tested faith grows hot, bringing glory to our God. We have never seen him, and still we love him. We don't see him now, and still we rejoice. Joy without words. Joy full of glory. We are being saved, have been saved, will be saved. We bring a blessing now to the Father of our Savior, our one and living hope.
Which I forgot about, expresses what I want to talk to you so well this morning. That last song that we sang just a few minutes ago expresses so clearly what I want to talk to you about this morning. We're going to begin a journey in 1 Peter. And so if you have your New Testament, open up to 1 Peter. And the reason we're going to be looking at 1 Peter is because the book of 1 Peter was written to Christians who were beginning to suffer for the simple fact that they were Christians. And one of the things we're going to learn as we look through the book of 1 Peter is we're going to learn how the Bible teaches we should respond when we are persecuted for our faith, how we should respond when people say things that are unkind to us. And if you haven't noticed, that's the world we live in right now. We live in a world that is very, very skeptical of Christians, but they actually are at times even angered with us because of what we believe. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people respond not in the biblical way. The way I've noticed is people will, if someone says something unkind to them, they say something twice as unkind back. Have you noticed that? That's not biblical. And so what we're going to look at is how we deal with the world that we live in, especially when it comes to pain and suffering. This last year for many of us has been an incredibly painful year. We've lost loved ones. And, you know, for some of us, it's been several years of that. And yet, the message that I want to talk to you about this morning is a living hope. It's good news. And matter of fact, my message is called Good News for the Future. And here's what it is. The good news for the future is, regardless of what happens to you in the future, you're going to be okay. Regardless of what someone wants to do to you in the future, if you know Jesus Christ, you're going to be okay. And this passage this morning is so encouraging to me. And Peter, and remember, Peter was crucified upside down for his faith. And so Peter kind of knows about persecution, and he's going to tell us how to deal with it in a Christian way. And he begins with this, and if you don't get this morning's message, you will never be able to deal with pain and suffering and persecution. Because the message begins about salvation. If you are not secure in your salvation with Jesus Christ, you ought to be scared of the future. But if you're secure in that salvation, then nothing should faze you. Nothing should faze you. So let's look at good news for the future. I'm going to begin in verse 1 and 2 just because it's introductory, but I'll get to it later. It says, this letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Okay, so it's Peter. Everybody knows Peter. The guy that opened his mouth and then had to put his foot in it almost immediately. Peter is the author of this book. He was one of Jesus' disciples, knew him intimately. He was called an apostle. He says, I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, you say, where in the world is that? Well, if you go to a map, a modern map, it's Turkey. Okay? That was called Asia Minor. So Paul is writing to these Jewish Christians, to these Gentile Christians who have been scattered. The reason they have been scattered a lot of times was due to persecution. He is writing these letters to these Christians who were scattered in Turkey. He says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and the Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. Well, that was his opening in this letter. But then he gets down to the specifics, which I want us to look at. He says, all praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. Do you have great expectation about the future? Peter says, we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. And then he says something kind of crazy. He says, So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith, though your faith is far more precious than gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love Him even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when He told them in advance about Christ's suffering and His great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is also wonderful that even the angels eagerly watching these things happen. Now, this story is written in the context of an emperor named Nero. Anybody heard of King Nero? King Nero came to power, and at the beginning he wasn't too bad. He wasn't too bad at all. But he found an area that he wanted to build his palace. And the problem was this area where he wanted to build his palace was occupied by other people. So, you know, they didn't have, what is it they call it, eminent domain. They didn't say this is eminent domain. They didn't have that back then. So you know what Nero did? He set that part of town on fire. And that part of Rome, and it is rumored that he was playing, I think, his fiddle as Rome burned. And after it was all said and done, guess who he blamed? He blamed the Christians. As a matter of fact, he brought some of the Christians in and tortured them and got them to confess that they set Rome on fire. And then they went out and started arresting, and they went out and started persecuting Christians, blaming them for burning down Rome. And also they began to say, well, look at those Christians. They don't worship the Roman gods. Look at those Christians. They're not like us. Now, when you look at history, the things that were said about the Christians, basically that they were a loving group of people. But in the early days, when this letter was written, Nero, in about 65 AD, had started to persecute the Christians for their faith. And some of the things they did, they executed them by crucifixion. The Romans loved to use that execution method because it was very painful, it was very slow, and they could do it in a way where everybody in the community knew what was going on. So they went out, now get this, they went out and got Christians and put them on crosses simply because they were Christians and Nero blamed them for burning Rome. They also would put them in hides of animals and put them in the amphitheaters and turn wild animals loose, and those wild animals would literally tear them to pieces. Now, I like football, and that's kind of a rough sport, but I can't in my mind imagine ever coming to a point where I would go to a Colosseum and enjoy a man or a woman being torn apart in front of me. I can't even imagine what that would be like. But what he is most famously known for, which is another thing, is that he is said to have lit his gardens, his personal gardens, with Christians who were tarred and set on fire. Now, can you imagine going to someone's garden and live people are burning? That's the way Nero treated the Christians that Peter is writing to. And what he's saying in this book is, don't give up. Don't quit. Keep on keeping on. But he begins with the very first thing in your outline, which is so important. If you don't get this, you never will stand for your faith. He begins with this. You've got to understand that your salvation is secure. If your salvation is not secure, you're not going to die for Jesus. I can guarantee you that. You're not going to suffer for Jesus. Now think about it. If they were coming around looking for Christians and they asked you, are you a Christian? And you knew that they were going to take you and put you on a cross, or they were going to take you and put you in the Colosseum in front of the lions, would you be willing to say that you were a Christian? Or would you just think, well, God's going to forgive me if I lie this one time? Haven't you ever been there? I'll just lie this one time. No, I'm not a Christian today. But then tomorrow I'll be. We've got to understand, if we're going to live in this world, and I do predict that in the future it's going to get rough for those of us who call ourselves Christians, that we will never suffer and we will never live for Jesus Christ until we have complete confidence that if we died, we would live. And my question for you this morning is, do you know that you're secure in your salvation? I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm talking about salvation. And salvation only comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you confident of that? Because I know for a fact you won't stand for Jesus if you're not secure in your salvation. Look at how he describes it. He begins in verse 3 by saying, "All praises to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, one of the things I did, you know, I sometimes watch the news. Sometimes I look at my life and the world we live in, and it's depressing. You ever get that way? I just sometimes, you know, really, sometimes I think it'd just be much easier for Jesus to come back and go home and not have to deal with this mess. Do you ever feel like that? I mean, I'm not depressed. Don't worry. I'm not suicidal or anything like that. There's just times I look at the world, the teenagers and my grandson and my next grandson are going to grow up in the world, and I'm like, man, it's rough. So I was down a little bit yesterday, and so you know what I did? I got my little Bose Revolve sound, and I put it in there, and we're cleaning, and I turned on praise music. And that praise music was blessing God for His salvation. That last song that we sang was all about a living hope. And let me tell you what, if you struggle with depression and discouragement, one of the things you need to do is turn on some good Christian music that talks about God and blesses God. The word bless means to speak well of. And so one of the things you're supposed to do and I'm supposed to do is to speak well about God and the salvation that He's provided. Here's what I find happens to Baptists. We make such a big deal about getting saved that once people get saved, they never talk about it or think about it again. But here's the beautiful thing. You need to be grateful every single day for the salvation that Jesus Christ provided for you. And He describes it. Look at it. He says, "It is by His great mercy that we have been born again." Here's the good news. God didn't save you and God didn't save me because I deserved it. He didn't look out there and go, "Well, hey, Bill's looking pretty good out there. I think I'm going to save him." No, He looked out there and He saw Bill Ashburn and said, "He's a mess. He's a sinner. And I'm going to have mercy on him and provide a way for him." I love that he says, "It is by His great mercy that we have been born again." There's that word that most of us that are older associate with Jimmy Carter. And Jimmy Carter, in an interview when he was president, talked about being born again. They asked him if he has been born again. But here's the thing I want you to see. We are told in the Scripture that because of Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, you're born again. You see, you're born the first time. Every one of you here have been born once, physically. But the only way to have eternal life, the only way to be a Christian, is to be born again. How does that happen? That happens when you understand that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. It's when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, whether you're a kid or a teenager or an adult, whenever you place your faith in Jesus Christ, the Scripture says that you're born again. So this salvation that I have this morning and you have this morning means that we're born again. If you're not a Christian, you're not born again. You're dead in your sin. So this morning, you're either born again or dead. And what Peter is saying here is we need to thank God the Father because He provided Jesus Christ to us in order that we can be born again. And then he tells us why. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, last week was Easter. And one of the things we talk about Easter is the resurrection. And the beautiful thing here is the reason we can be secure that when we die, we're going to heaven is because Jesus defeated death. He lived, He died, and He was resurrected from the dead. Now, if you've never believed that, if you don't believe that, you're not born again. I don't care if you said a little prayer. I don't care if you've been baptized. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ lived and died and was resurrected from the dead, you are not born again. It's called the gospel. And he says, now, because of that, look what he says, now we live with great expectation. I can face the future as a Christian because I know absolutely 100% that regardless of what happens to me, I'm going to be okay. I don't live for the now. When I'm having hard times, I'm not living in the now. I'm living in the truth that someday it's going to get better. And it's because of the resurrection that we have expectations. Great expectation, Peter says. And then he says in verse 4, and we have a priceless inheritance. We have a priceless inheritance. Now, this priceless inheritance, he says, is secure. You don't have to worry about it. Look what he says. It's kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, and how do you get saved? Through your faith in the resurrection, through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So what is he talking about in those verses 3 through 5? He's basically saying, if you are a Christian, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about the future because in the end, you win. If you die, you still win. Now, we've all got our shots, our little inoculations. I've got my second one. I've got living in me something. I don't know what it is, but it's living within me and it's supposed to keep me alive. But let me tell you what. Once COVID's gone, guess what? There's going to be something else get me. Here's the good news is something else is going to get you too. But if you have your faith in Jesus Christ, you still win. I got bad news for everyone in this room. Everyone in this room is going to die. Does everybody understand that? I can 100% guarantee you everybody in this room is going to die. But I can also guarantee you that if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, even though your body dies, you still live. Here's the thing about that salvation. That salvation is not going to be based on how good you live your life. It's going to be based on the person of Jesus who died for you and was resurrected from you. And you're born again to a new living hope. How many of you have ever had a root canal? Anybody had a root canal? A root canal is to solve a tooth problem. I believe it's infected. And I told my cousin, he's a dentist. My view of the devil is that he has to be a dentist. I fear the dentist. I mean, seriously, I just absolutely fear going to a dentist. And I've had several root canals in my life. And teenagers and kids, it's better to brush your teeth. Let me just promise you that. But when I go in to get a root canal, here's how I get through the pain. And it is painful to me. Don't tell me he's a good dentist and you ain't going to feel anything. When you have a root canal, you feel it. Okay? Here's how I get through it. I know that when I get to the other side of that root canal and the pain medicine wears off, I'm going to be better. The reason I went to the dentist is because of the pain of the tooth. But I have faith that in the future it gets better. It's the same way if you're salvation. I can't guarantee you that bad things aren't going to happen to you. I can't guarantee you're not going to get sick and suffer. I can't guarantee any of that. But here's what I do know. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, regardless of what happens to you, you win. And you will never stand firm for your faith if you don't believe that you're saved. And it's a terrible, I can't imagine. I don't wake up and go, am I saved today? Am I not saved? Was I a bad boy yesterday? And so maybe I lost it. No, I wake up knowing that I'm saved because of Jesus Christ. When your salvation is secure in Him, you're able to face anything. You're able to face death. How did those early Christians, how in the world did they admit that they were a Christ follower, knowing they were going to, how did they do that? They only did that because they were secure in knowing that there was something better than this world. And I beg you, I plead with you, please understand that your salvation is the most priceless thing that you have. But when was the last time that you thanked God for it? When was the last time you were singing praises to Him? I guarantee you, a lot of times we don't think about death and dying until we're dying and facing it. Peter says, don't forget to bless God the Father for the great salvation that you have. How secure are you in your salvation? If you died, what would happen to you? I can't answer that question. I can only tell you the answer to that question. How to not fear death. Are you scared to die? I mean, I don't want to die, but I know that my salvation is secure because of Jesus Christ. So the first thing Peter says is that your salvation is secure. And that's either true or not true. And only you know whether that's true or not. Second thing, hard times produce spiritual growth. You know, one of the things about Americans, we want to do anything but suffer and have hard times. And a lot of times people get involved in drugs and alcohol because they don't want to have hard times, so they just medicate themselves and they go on with life. But look what Peter says in verse 6. He says, so be truly glad. And then he says, there is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Okay, let me just say this. You're going to have trials. Somehow in the church, we have kind of got this idea, if we live right, we don't have any problems. But the truth is, when we look at the scripture, what we learn is, they just come out and tell us. James tells us, Peter tells us, if you live, you're going to have trials. You're going to have marriage trials. You're going to have financial trials. You're going to have children trials. You're going to have all kinds of trials. I can promise you this, if you live long enough, you're going to have problems, right? Everybody got that? And so Peter says here, he says, listen guys, you can rejoice because you know that even though you have trials, there's hope for the future. And one of the things that I've discovered is that hard times, if I allow Christ to help me, are my greatest times of spiritual growth. He says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. And then he says this, here's the key. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's kind of like saying this. When you have hard times as a Christian, we find out whether you're genuine or not genuine. Whether you're a fake or a real deal. And what Peter is saying here is that when you go through hard times, you find out what you really believe. Listen, the greatest way to grow spiritually mature is to go through hard times. And the only way you get through hard times is by a genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, those difficulties that you're going through in life and struggling with, if you trust Him to get you through it and to teach you, He will. And what the world needs to see today is that we have genuine faith, a faith. Listen, I can't tell you the number of times that people have started out strong in the church, but because of hard times, they fall by the wayside. He says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. I can sit here and talk to you all day long about losing a loved one. But it wasn't until I watched my mom, and I watched my dad, and I watched my mother-in-law die that I really understood it. And I understood that without that faith in Jesus Christ, I couldn't deal with that stuff. It was that faith in Jesus Christ that got me through the hardest times of my life. You see, when your faith is genuine, you grow. Let me tell you a story about Julie's mom. She had called us on a Wednesday night and told us that she was dying. She was on hospice. And so we rushed out there and got there. And she's fully alert, fully aware. She knew she was dying. She's a very strong believer. And I'll never forget it. We went in there, and you know what her biggest concern was? Now, she's dying. Her biggest concern was she had not told enough people about Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking, how do you do that? She was worried. She said, I didn't tell enough people. I didn't tell. I saw that woman with faith. Faith. You see, he talks about when these hard times come around, you find out what you're made of. You're either made of Jesus or yourself. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold through your faith, though your faith is far more precious than gold. Listen, your faith in Jesus Christ is the most valuable possession that you have. He says, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. You see, when you deal with trials and suffering with a genuine faith, people notice. People notice that something is different about you. So how's your faith? Is it genuine? Is it in Christ? Well, the quickest way to grow and mature spiritually is to have hard times plus faith. Those lead to maturity. Third thing, and here's what I want to close with. Jesus brings you joy now. Look at verses 8 and 9. You love Him even though you have never seen Him. Is that true of you? Do you love Him even though you've never seen Him? Peter said, you love Him even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him? Do you trust Him? And then he says, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls. Listen. Jesus brings you joy now. I haven't seen him. You haven't seen him, but he's real. When I meet with him on a daily basis, when I spend time with him, he's real. And there's something, I don't know how to explain it, there's something about the joy that comes when a Christian has a personal daily relationship with Jesus Christ. And Peter says here, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. One of the reasons I would tell any of you that you need Jesus as your Savior is because of the joy that he can bring to you now. Now, I know when I die, I'm going to heaven, and that's going to be better than anything that I can imagine. But let me tell you something, people. He's very real to me now. He brings me, listen, church doesn't bring me joy, Jesus does. Do you have him? Do you know him? Have you ever placed your faith in him? That's the reward, the salvation. Have you ever placed your faith in him? See, Jesus wants to bring you joy now, not someday. When people see you on the street, they ought to see something different about you. And one of the things is they ought to see a smile and a joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Do you have that joy? Religion won't give you joy. Only Jesus can. And then the last thing, I said the last thing was the other thing, but this quick in verses 10 through 12, it basically is this. Salvation is such a blessing. The prophets, they told us about the coming Messiah, but they never got to experience him. The angels look at the salvation that we have, but they don't get saved. And I just want to close by saying this. Salvation is a blessing. And a lot of times we don't talk about it. We just say, oh, I accepted Jesus back in 1977, or I became a Christian then, and I got saved. But the truth is, you're getting saved right now. You're getting saved in the future. It is the most incredible thing. Your salvation is not dependent upon anything you do. It's dependent on who you trust. So do you rejoice in that? Does knowing Christ make a difference? I hope so. As we look at 1 Peter, we're going to see over and over again how if you know Jesus, you ought to be different. Let's pray. Father, I come to you, and Lord, I remember accepting you a long, long time ago, but a lot of times I just live life and I get busy and I forget about how wonderful my salvation is. Lord, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I died in a few moments, that I'd be better off. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because of you, I could face any trial and we would get through it, and I would grow and be more mature. Father, we have too many McDonald's Christians who just want a cheap Jesus at a drive-thru. And we all need to have that relationship that is life-changing. Lord, I thank you that you're here right now. We either can experience you or we can deny you that opportunity. As the world gets tough, Lord, help us. Help us to live for you. Help us to have your joy. Help us to be secure in our salvation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.